People take to the streets of Paris to mark the 60th anniversary of a bloody police crackdown on Algerian protesters in the French capital. The Yemeni army making further advances towards liberating oil-rich Ma'arib by capturing yet another strategic region from Saudi-backed militants. And the Chinese army condemns the U.S. and Canada for sending warships through the Taiwan Strait, saying that the move is aimed at destabilizing the region. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Demonstrations in Paris. People have marked the anniversary of a bloody crackdown by French police against Algerian protesters in the capital city 60 years ago. The rally was called by France's Human Rights League. On October 17, 1961, Paris police cracked down on tens of thousands of Algerians protesting a night curfew. Historians say 200 were killed and mass arrests were made. On Saturday, French President Emmanuel Macron commemorated the victims, becoming the first French leader to do so. He called the killings inexcusable, but failed to offer a formal apology. Following that, Algerian President Abdelmadjid Tebboune urged Paris to put aside any colonialist thought when dealing with historical issues related to his country. He said the issues should be treated with a sense of responsibility and that massacres will remain in collective memory. Political commentator Mashira Mune says France keeps pursuing the same attitude towards people of the countries it had colonized in the past.
The continuing French attitude towards its colonial peoples, the colonies, you still have that lingering master attitude towards the former colonies, so meaning that France has not quite come off its colonial past. And what happened in 1961 in the massacre, it was simply the French colonial atrocities in the colonies revisiting France itself. What they had been doing somewhere else, they did it in their own capital, in Paris, which was a jolting experience. So the feeling by the president of Algeria is that the French have not quite come of it, the master colonial attitude towards the rest of the world or the former colonies. And that when dealing with Africa, with other countries, they need to reflect the change that is needed for proper relations.
Moving on, Yemen's army has achieved a new major victory against the Saudi-backed forces in Ma'arib and Shabwa provinces. The victory would help the armed forces of Yemen continue their advancement towards across the country. Abdulatif Awashali has more.
Following fierce clashes with the Saudi-led coalition's forces and terrorist groups, Yemen's armed forces successfully liberated 3,200 square kilometers in Ma'arib and Shabwa provinces, Bayhan, Ain and Usaylan directorates of Shabwa, as well as Abdiya and Harib of Ma'arib were liberated during the operation named Spring of Victory.
Our armed forces have managed to accomplish a Spring of Victory operation in the Ma'arib and Shabwa governorates and achieve their goals. By the operation, the army liberated vast areas amounting to thousands of square kilometers.
Yemeni officials say the recent victory was made in two strategic provinces with the cooperation of tribesmen in most of the liberated areas.
The significance of the operation lies in the importance of the two governorates in which the battle took place, namely Ma'arib and Shabwa, which are oil-rich and strategic. This operation will have a direct impact on the Saudi-led coalition. The tribesmen played an unprecedented role in liberating these areas.
Earlier, the spokesman of the Yemeni army had announced that the armed forces liberated 600 square kilometers in the oil-rich province of Marib.
Vast areas in Marib and Chibok provinces have been captured by the Yemeni army, which means that the armed forces will go further in their efforts to liberate the eastern Chibok province after liberating the whole province of Marib, the last stronghold of the Saudi-backed forces in northern Yemen. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Earlier, we spoke to activist and political commentator Hossein Al-Bukhaiti. He believes Washington's call for the opening of a safe passage for militants exactly at a time when Yemeni forces are inching closer to fully recapturing the province shows just how hypocritical U.S. officials are.
This shows you exactly the amount of hypocrisy that the United States policies in the region. There is a war and blockade against Yemen for the last 7 years. I have never ever heard the United Nations or the US or the UK has called Saudi Arabia to halt its war for safe passages, for fuel ship and for medicines and for food to enter Hodeidah port. This shows you that only this type of calls only comes when a Yemeni army actually has liberated area which actually there was a lot of ISIS and Al-Qaeda fighters. And we have seen many statements released by ISIS and Al-Qaeda either in Al-Bayda or in Marib that they declared that they are fighting what they call the Houthis. And this shows you that the United States actually policy is trying so hard to help Al-Qaeda and ISIS fighters in many areas in Yemen. And on the other hand, we see that they ignore millions of Yemeni people are starving, a Saudi blockade supported by the United States and UK. That's why I don't think that the Yemeni army will actually stop its fight, because as Sayyid Abdul Malik Al-Houthi, the leader of Ansarullah, has said that the fight will continue till Yemeni army will liberate every corner of Yemen.
Iraqis have taken to the streets to protest the results of last Sunday's parliamentary elections amid reports of voting fraud and irregularities. Protests took place in the capital, Baghdad, and major city of Basra. People called on officials to recount all the votes or hold another election. They pledged to keep up their rallies until their demands are met. Iraq's Electoral Commission has begun recounting the ballots after some political parties protested initial results. Based on those results, influential cleric Muqtada al-Sadr took the lead with more than 70 seats. The Fatah Alliance protested that, saying the results were fabricated. Other groups expressed their opposition too. Iraq's parliament has 329 seats. The final results of the election should be certified by the federal court. What was initially meant as a peaceful protest by Hezbollah supporters in Lebanon's capital, Beirut, turned into a scene of terror and bloodshed. People were shot at from rooftops as they were gathering to protest against a judge handling a probe into last year's Beirut port blast. They are accusing the judge of bias in the case. The situation has revived concerns about violence spinning out of control, but Hezbollah Secretary General has some reassuring words for the public. He says the movement will do everything it can to prevent Lebanon from sliding into a civil war and sectarianism.
Seven people were killed and 60 others injured after a peaceful protest in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, turned deadly on Thursday. It all began as heavy gunfire erupted during a rally of Hezbollah and ML movement supporters to protest against the judge probing the last year's Beirut port explosion, as they accuse him of political bias and being swayed by the U.S. Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah has accused Judge Tariq Bitar of politically targeting officials in his investigation. The Beirut port blast in August 2020 killed over 200 people, injured around 6,000, and left some 300,000 homeless. It also caused further damage to Lebanon's already fragile economy. Following the unrest, Hezbollah and the Amal movement in a joint statement said the attack was aimed at creating civil strife. Hezbollah initially blamed the attack on the Christian Lebanese Forces Party, led by Samir Jaja. Later, reports from Lebanon's Interior Ministry confirmed that the far-right Lebanese Forces Party had started the Thursday shooting in Beirut. Hezbollah accused the Lebanese Forces Political Party of taking orders from the United States and being financed by some Arab countries. The Lebanese president vowed to hold accountable the perpetrators.
What happened will be the subject of security and judicial follow-up, and I, for my part, will ensure that the investigation reaches the truth of what happened in order to hold those responsible and instigators to account.
Aoun described the incident as painful and unacceptable. So far, Lebanese authorities have arrested 19 people in connection with the violence.
Well, the uproar and instability and confusion in the region are directly attributable to the United States, to the apartheid entity of Israel, and to the repressive and repulsive monarchy of Saudi Arabia. So the whole issue is basically outsiders doing their best to destabilize the region.
Now, in recent years, the axis of resistance has turned into a powerful front against the U.S. and its allies in the region. Countries like Lebanon and Syria are standing strong in the face of Israeli aggression. Hezbollah is promising to defeat any foreign and Western-backed plots against Lebanon, and Syria says a crushing response awaits Israel's repeated airstrikes.
Abdul Bari Atwan, a well-known author, has described the recent highlights in Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon as an American Zionist conspiracy to ignite a civil war in the region. Atwan stated that the U.S. Zionist conspiracy to create a sectarian conflict in the region will fail. He said, "Sectarian conflicts have been created with the aim of securing Israel's interests and stealing Lebanese gas. But this sedition will not go ahead, and if it goes on, the U.S. and its allies will surely be defeated." In fact, the axis of resistance in the region has so far managed to oppose Western, namely United States and Israel, interests in the region and foiled their plots. Members of the axis of resistance include Iran, Syria, and Lebanon's Hezbollah, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas, to name a few. The U.S. has attempted to weaken the resistance axis by hatching different plots, such as causing instability and wars in the region for years. However, the resistance has always been ready to properly respond to these threats. For instance, Washington has always sought to keep Israel's enemies at one another's throat so that they could not give Israel trouble. But the resistance front has time and again proven that it will not allow the Tel Aviv regime to commit crimes with impunity, as it has launched retaliatory attacks against Tel Aviv, which have exposed the vulnerability of the regime's entities in the region. Israel's constant violations of Lebanese airspace are also a source of instability. This has been seen as a constant provocation by Israel, mainly directed at the resistance movement Hezbollah. Meanwhile, the U.S. has also been accused of creating an atmosphere of instability. On the one hand, it has imposed sanctions on Lebanon, which prevents foreign investment in the country. It has even opposed the delivery of fuel shipments from Iran is in an emergency mode due to a lack of fuel. Meanwhile, the U.S. ambassador has stirred controversy by making anti-Hezbollah statements, so much so that a judge ordered a media ban on her. The trip by the number three diplomat at the State Department, Victoria Nolan, to Lebanon also proved to be controversial. Her purpose was to meet government officials and representatives to discuss Lebanon's reforms and elections. The question that arises is, what does she have to do with Lebanon's elections?
Noland was famously accused of promoting regime change in Ukraine, backing the Maidan protesters and opposition, which showed how the Ukrainian opposition is being manipulated by Washington. Coincidentally, while she was there, the deadly protest in Lebanon erupted, which resulted in the death of several Lebanese. What is for certain is that the popularity of the resistance in the region will be a severe challenge for the enemies, who are hatching plots against them, specifically Israel and the US.
Moving on, additional security measures could be on the cards for British lawmakers after the fatal stabbing of a parliamentarian days ago. Interior Minister Priti Patel is hinting at introducing some kind of protection, such as having officers around when lawmakers meet their constituents. Conservative lawmaker David Amesso was stabbed to death during a meeting in a church in East London on Friday, becoming the second member of parliament to be killed this way in 5 years. A 25-year-old suspect is now in custody. Police are calling the murder an act of terror and say the assailant probably acted alone. Russia is hitting yet a new all-time high in its coronavirus cases. Healthcare officials are reporting more than 34,000 new COVID infections, the highest since the pandemic began. The figure brings the caseload to nearly 8 million. There have also been 997 deaths, five fewer than the daily record high of 1,002 reported on Saturday. The total fatalities are now more than 223,000. Officials are blaming a slow vaccination campaign for the steep rise in infections and deaths. The surge has prompted the health ministry to ask retired vaccinated medics to return to hospitals and help deal with the situation. China has lashed out at the United States and Canada after they sent warships through the Taiwan Straits several days ago. The Chinese military accused Washington and Ottawa of colluding to provoke and stir up trouble in the Taiwan Strait. It said the measure jeopardizes peace and stability in the region. The Chinese military added that forces will resolutely counter all threats and provocations. Beijing views Taiwan as a breakaway province and maintains sovereignty over the island under the One China policy. But Taiwan considers itself a sovereign state. China says the U.S. and other Western countries' military support for Taiwan emboldens those advocating for independence. With that, we come to the end of this edition of World News.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
tell a little about yourself?
Amir Kishmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught in the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 17th, 2021. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program, dear listeners. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service, to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us in the time of pandemic. Here, I do appreciate those of our dear listeners who have sent us reception reports, including N. Arun Kumar from India, who is one of our regular listeners, Sixten Niman from Finland, who is also one of our regular listeners, and Vlad Vinogradov from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners. And Arun Kumar, Sixten Niman, and Vlad Vinogradov, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending us these reception reports. And here, I read the names of our dear listeners who have sent us emails from around the world, and later during the program I will read their emails. First of all, we have an email from N. Arun Kumar from India. Toshio Shibata, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email from New Zealand. We have an email from Nicholas Lynch and Jan Thornblom from Sweden. One of our regular listeners has sent us an email, and the last but not the least is an email from Pastorino Gianni from Italy, who is one of our regular listeners. Please stay with us until the end of the program. I will read these great emails from around the world. Welcome back. First of all, we have an email from N. Arun Kumar from India. N. Arun Kumar, one of our regular listeners, says, "Dear Sir or Madam at IRIB English Radio, I thought this reception report enclosed to this email might be helpful for you. Unfortunately, there was a lot of noise in the broadcast. I hope it will be fixed very soon. I will be happy if you can please verify the report and send the QSL card with the program guides, pens, stickers to my address. Salam and warm greetings to you and Arun Kumar from India, and many thanks for sending us this email. And of course, thank you for sending us the reception report. Of course, the reception report you sent to IRB English Radio is very helpful and useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. My colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card, because in the time of pandemic, sending QSL cards, paper QSL cards, and the items you requested, including program guides, pens, and stickers, is not possible at the time of pandemic. So you can find the program guide or program schedule in our website at www.parstoday.com/yen. Anyway, it was a pleasure to have you with us in this program. Write to us soon, and Arun Kumar from India, and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. And from Japan, we have an email from one of our old and regular listeners, and that is an email from Toshio Shibata from Japan. Toshio Shibata says, "Hello. Further to my report 2 weeks ago, I am re-reporting a reception of IRIB World Service. This time, I was able to listen to the broadcast much longer at a better condition. I attached an MP3 recording. I hope you will recognize the voice of a speaking colleague. Could you please send me an EQSL indicating my reception? Thank you in advance for your kind understanding. Best regards." Hello, warm greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan. I do appreciate you for sending us this email. And of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL for verify your reception. And we received your MP3 recording. Thank you for that, for the MP3 recording. So you listen to the broadcast much longer at a better condition, and it's great. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. Toshio Shibata from Japan. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails, and this time from New Zealand. Welcome back from New Zealand, from the Southern Hemisphere. We have an email from Nicholas Lynch. Nicholas Lynch from New Zealand says, "Hello, my name is Nicholas Lynch from Christchurch, New Zealand. I would like to present you with a signal report for the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Please find attached a recording I made, broadcast received UTC, that is 419 to 450 here in New Zealand. Signal was strong and clear. Thank you for great programs. Kind regards." Salam and warm greetings to you, Nicholas Lynch from New Zealand, from Southern Hemisphere. So you are from Christchurch, New Zealand. Thank you for telling us. And I think it's spring in the Southern Hemisphere. We in Iran are located in Northern Hemisphere, and it's for the countries that are located in the Northern Hemisphere, it's autumn. But I think the countries in the Southern Hemisphere, they are experiencing a spring. So the weather is great as well. In Iran, it's autumn, and the weather is amazing. You can't believe it. We are very happy that our signals are received in Christchurch, New Zealand. That's great. So it seems that you enjoy the programs and the quality of the programs. As you said, the signal was strong and clear, and we had great programs, and that's great. Many thanks for sending us this email. Nicholas Lynch from New Zealand, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Wait for an EQSL from IRIB English radio. And also from Sweden, we have an email from Jan Thornblom, who is one of our regular listeners. Jan says, dear staff of IRIB English radio, as my hobby is listening to distant radio stations, I was very pleased to hear your station. The signal strength was quite okay, but a little unstable with some atmospheric noise and interference from a transmitter. Thank you very much for your nice program. I hope you can identify your program through this detail. If you found my report correct, I should be very glad to receive your QSL card, a letter, or an email as a verification that I really have been listening to your nice and interesting station. I am 83 years old. I am living in central part of Malmo, which is a city with about 345,000 inhabitants, located in the province Skåne, in southern part of Sweden, and only 30 kilometers east of the capital city of Denmark, Copenhagen. I hope to hear from you soon. Best greetings. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Jan Thornblom from Sweden. And we send you our warm gratitude for sending us this great email. Thank you for reflecting your views about IRIB English radio programs and its quality. And thank you for sharing your information, the place you live. You said you live in central part of Malmo, which is 30 kilometers east of the capital city of Denmark, Copenhagen. That's great. So you mentioned that your hobby is listening to distant radio stations. And that's good. Please tell us which program or programs in IRIB English Radio you like the best. Because you said you enjoy the programs and you found them interesting. So tell us your opinion about these programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And you had some trouble with an atmospheric noise, as you said, with the interference from transmitter. We will inform our technicians and engineers about the problems you mentioned. So please tell us more about you know, these problems in the near future, if there was any problem, and then we can fix it. Write to us soon, Jan Thornblom from Sweden. And we're looking forward from hearing from you. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Wait for one of them. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Italy. Welcome back. This email is from Italy, from Pastorino Gianni. Pastorino Gianni is one of our regular listeners, but we haven't heard from him for a long time. Pastorino says, greetings from Andorra, Italy. I am receiving with great pleasure your programs. I would be happy to receive your QSL card. Thank you in advance and best regards. Ciao, salam. Greetings to you, Pastorino Gianni from Italy. Thank you for writing to us. Yes, we haven't heard from you for a long time. Write to us soon. And wait for an EQSL card, because sending paper QSL cards in the time of pandemic is not possible. So you have received different programs from Arab English Radio. Please let this relationship continue. Write to us soon and tell us your views about the programs you had from IRIB English Radio. Wishing you all the best in life, of course. Wishing you safety and health in the time of pandemic. We wrap up this week's edition of Listen to the Special. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
According to a leaked draft of a report from the world's leading authority on climate science, global greenhouse gas emissions must peak in the next 4 years. Coal and gas-fired power plants must close in the next decade, and lifestyle and behavioral changes will be needed to avoid climate breakdown. We have prepared for you an article written jointly by Fiona Harvey and Giles Tremlett. The piece is titled, Leaked United Nations Report Says Greenhouse Gas Emissions Must Peak Within 4 Years. The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. According to a leaked draft of a report from the world's leading authority on climate science, global greenhouse gas emissions must peak in the next 4 years. Coal and gas-fired power plants must close in the next decade, and lifestyle and behavioral changes will be needed to avoid climate breakdown. Rich people in every country are overwhelmingly more responsible for global heating than the poor, with SUVs and meat eating singled out for the blame. And a high carbon basis for future economic growth is also questioned. The leak is from the forthcoming third part of the landmark report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, the first part of which was published recently, warning of unprecedented changes to the climate, some of them irreversible. The document, called the Sixth Assessment Report, is divided into three parts. The physical science of climate change, the impacts and ways of reducing human influence on the climate. Part 3 is not scheduled to be released before next March, but a small group of scientists decided to leak the draft via the Spanish branch of Scientists' Rebellion, an offshoot of the Extinction Rebellion movement. It was first published by the journalist Juan Bordera in the Spanish online magazine CTXT. Juan Bordera told The Guardian that the leak reflected the concern of some of those involved in drawing up the document that their conclusions could be watered down before publication in 2022. Governments have the right to make changes to the summary for policymakers. The report finds the top 10% of greenhouse gas emitters globally, who are the wealthiest 10%, contribute between 36 and 45% of emissions, which is 10 times as much as the poorest 10% of countries, who are responsible for only about 3 to 5% of the greenhouse gas emissions. The summary says the consumption pattern of higher-income consumers are associated with large carbon footprints. Top emitters dominate emissions in key sectors. For example, the top 1% account for 50% of emissions from aviation. report underlines the lifestyle changes that will be necessary, particularly in rich countries and among the wealthy globally. The report finds refraining from overheating or overcooling homes, walking and cycling, cutting air travel and using energy-consuming appliances less can all contribute significantly to the reductions in global greenhouse gas emissions that are needed. Eating patterns in many parts of the rich world will also need a change. A shift to diets with a higher share of plant-based protein in regions with excess consumption of calories and animal source food can lead to substantial reductions in emissions, while also providing health benefits. The report says plant-based diets can reduce emissions by up to 50% compared to the average emission-intensive Western diet. The report notes providing modern energy to all those who currently lack it, that is 800 million people have no access to electricity, would have a negligible effect on increasing greenhouse gas emissions. Cutting emissions in the next decade will be crucial to any hope of holding global heating within 1.5 degrees Celsius of pre-industrial levels, beyond which the impacts of climate breakdown will cause widespread devastation. The report warns weaker near-term action would place limiting warming to these levels out of reach, as it would entail assumptions about subsequent accelerated policy development and technology development and deployment, inconsistent with evidence and projections in the assessed literature. The report reaffirms the need to halve greenhouse gas emissions in the next decade to stay within 1.5 degrees Celsius and reach net zero emissions by 2050. Investment needed to shift the global economy to a low-carbon footing is also missing. According to the IPCC report, current investment falls below what is needed by a factor of 5, even to hold warming to the higher limit of 2 degrees Celsius. About $546 billion went towards cutting greenhouse gases and building resilience to the impacts of the climate crisis in 2018. The scientists say existing and planned infrastructure and investments, institutional inertia, and a social bias towards the status quo are leading to a risk of locking in future emissions that may be costly or difficult to abate. The report finds stranded assets will be a growing problem as coal-fired and gas power plants with working lives usually measured in decades will have to be decommissioned within 9 to 12 years of construction. The scientists echoed a recent advice from the International Energy Agency, the IEA, that no new fossil fuel development can take place if the world is to stay within the 1.5 degrees Celsius of heating. The report says the combined economic impact of stranded fossil fuel resources and capital could amount to trillions of dollars. This risk could be reduced by shifting investment to low-carbon goods and low-carbon services. The report also finds technology to capture and store carbon dioxide has not progressed rapidly enough to play a major role yet, but technologies to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere would almost certainly be needed to hold heating to the 1.5 degrees Celsius limit. IPCC report notes there are some causes for optimism. Solar and wind energy and battery technology are now far cheaper thanks to policies that have encouraged their use. Cutting methane emissions would also be a major contributor to dampening temperature rises. The IPCC report says taking greater care of forests and land as important carbon sinks would also help to limit temperature rises but must not be over-relied on. This comes as relatively low cost, but cannot compensate for slow emission reductions in other sectors. CTXT, the Spanish publication that leaked the draft IPCC report, said it showed that the global economy must be shifted rapidly away from a reliance on conventional GDP growth, but that the report underplays this. The Spanish publication CTXT wrote, "The essential radical change in an economic system whose perverse operation of accumulation and reproduction of capital in perpetuity has brought us to the current critical point is not clearly mentioned." The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, said it did not comment on leaks, and the purpose of the drafting process was to give the scientists time and peace to develop their assessment without external comment. Jonathan Lynn, head of the communications at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, said much of the text cited here, apparently from the first version of the summary for policymakers in the third working group, second order draft circulated to governments and expert reviewers in January, has already changed in the latest internal draft of the summary for policymakers now being reviewed by the authors of the report.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common. The path of Imam Hussein is a sweet, successful path. The 28th of September, 2021. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Salamun alaykum, and may God's mercy be upon you. I am very grateful to God, the Exalted, for giving me this opportunity to meet with you, dear youth, today, as I have in previous years, and to benefit from your warm presence and pure, enlightened hearts. May peace be upon Hussein, upon Ali ibn al-Hussein, upon the children of Hussein, and upon the companions of Hussein, those who laid down their lives for Hussein. The 40-day period from Ashura to Arba'een is one of the most important periods in the history of Islam. The day of Ashura is the peak of importance, and those 40 days between Ashura and Arba'een are similar to the day of Ashura. If the day of Ashura is the peak and endeavor accompanied by sacrifice, the sacrifice of one's life, loved ones, children, and companions, then these 40 days are the peak of endeavor accompanied by clarification, disclosure, and explanation. If it had not been for those 40 days, and if it had not been for the great movement of Zainab al-Kubra, peace be upon her, Hazrat Umm Kulthum, and Hazrat Sajjad, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, perhaps the phrase, to liberate your servants from ignorance and from being left to wander in the dark, would not have been realized. It was this great movement and the extraordinary patience of the Holy Prophet's household, led by Zainab al-Kubra, peace be upon her, and Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, that were able to make the event of Karbala immortal. Their clarification was complementary to that sacrifice in the true sense of the word. Third of February 2021. Regarding Hazrat Zahra, peace be upon her, even if we adopt an ordinary worldly outlook, perceptive, mystic, and spiritual eyes might see other things, of course. We see that the great personality was the Holy Prophet's cherished daughter. The Holy Prophet would kiss her hands and would stand up in front of her. Before every trip, the last place he would visit was Zahra's house, and he would depart on his trip from that place.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.